All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. We've got a great devotional word for you. This is a word, and I'm going to give you more explanation on this, that was actually inspired by my 15-year-old son that shared this with me. But before we get started, let me know in the comment section below that you are, if you're new, if this is your first time joining us, and where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. And tell us if you're in the States or if you're out of state, wherever that is, your location, and that you're new, so we can acknowledge that. And as always, before we get started, guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. You can go to your Apple Store, your Google Play Store, depending on what device you have. Just type in End Time Headlines, download that free app today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be ready to go with every headline, every podcast, every devotional word, and everything that we put out there. So without further ado, a while back, probably last week or so, my 15-year-old son came to me, and he came to me and said, "Dad, I think I was reading this article, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me on this article, but I don't have a clear message on this." He said, "But I want you to read this because I think God will give you a devotional word to share." So it's like, okay. So I begin to read this, and man, first of all, it's amazing that God is speaking to my 15-year-old son like he is. Because when we get into this, it was absolutely the Holy Spirit who showed him this, because he's already developing this understanding of how the Lord speaks through us and through circumstances. Little does he know, I believe God's calling him to do like I am, and that's to preach the gospel. And this is really confirmation of that. But before we get into this, I want to give you our foundational scripture. All this is going to tie into this devotional word today. So our foundational scripture is going to be out of the book of James, chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4, I'm going to read this from two translations. The first one I'm going to read here on your screen is going to be from the New King James, and then I'm going to read it again from the New Living Translation to pull out some stuff that is not seen here in the New King James that we're going to pull out in the New Living Translation. So here's what it says: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now, your King James will say, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith," come on, somebody say, "the testing of your faith produces patience." Oh, nobody wants to hear that today. "But let patience have its perfect work." Somebody say, "Let it have its work, that you and I may be perfect," or in actual translation of this is "mature," so that we may be mature and complete or whole, lacking nothing. Now, let's go over here to the same verse, same passage, New Living Translation. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it," come on, "the troubles, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, I'm sure every one of us look at troubles and trials in this light, right? Come on, yeah, right, probably not. But James seems to have a understanding or a revelation from God that he wants to share with us today. And that is that we, as brothers and sisters — this is not applicable to those outside of the will of God, this is to us, brothers and sisters — James has a understanding here that when troubles and trials and afflictions and persecutions and setbacks and unexpected things happen to us, we should consider this an opportunity for great joy. Now, why, James? Here's what he says in verse 3. "For you know that when your faith is tested," oh, come on, somebody, "your endurance has a chance to grow." Oh, this is so good. "So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect." And again, that's mature and complete, needing nothing. Now, again, about last week or so, my 15-year-old son came to me. He said, I want you to read this article. He said, I believe there's a devotional word here that God is speaking, and I want to give it to you and see what the Lord gives you out of it. So I began to read this, and wow, did the Lord ever speak through this? So I'm going to share this with you today. There was a great experiment done in the early 1980s, wherein which there was a desert called the Biodome. According to this report, this experiment was an actual exercise wherein which they try to create the perfect living environment for human beings, plant, and animal life. A huge glass dome was constructed and an artificial or synthetic controlled environment, oh, come on, was created with purified air, purified water, filtered light, and so on and so forth, offering the quote-unquote perfect growing conditions for trees, fruits, and vegetables and human beings. People lived in the biodome for many months at a time. And it was wonderful because everything seemed to do well with one exception. Now, what was that one exception, Brother Ricky? Well, let me give that to you today. Those who conducted the experiment noticed that when the trees were planted, they grew and they did well and they flourished to a certain height or certain level. And once they reached that certain height and certain level, the trees would simply topple over. This left scientists baffled for many months, until one day they came to the realization that the one natural element that they overlooked and forgot to recreate in the biodome, oh, was wind. Yes, wind. Because the scientists, when they did further research, discovered that trees needed wind to blow against them, which in turn would cause their root systems to grow deeper into the soil, which in return would support the tree as it grew taller to withstand the storms and fully develop. Oh, this is a word for somebody today. Listen, how many people have I talked to in my life? How many times have I been guilty of this? I remember early in my Christian walk, I thought that, man, I thought to myself, if only I could find the perfect environment. Now, in my eyes, the perfect environment to work in would it be a work environment where in which everybody was Christians like me. In fact, it would be even better if everybody in this environment was Pentecostal, spirit-filled, believe devil-stomping, tongue-talking, believe in the healing power of Jesus Christians. Oh, if we could just, not only if I could find the perfect work environment where everybody was believers like me, and even a step farther, if they believed in everything like me, every theological detail like me, every doctrinal belief like me, then it would be the perfect utopia to work in. See, how many of us are guilty of this? Come on, somebody. How many of us can honestly say we're guilty of this? We don't want any affliction. We don't want any setbacks. We don't want any persecution. We don't want any adversity. We don't want any hard times. We just want an easy walk with God. And listen, I'm going to be honest with you. When I read this Bible, if we're really walking according to the perfect will of God and we're doing His will and we're doing what God commanded us to do, my friends, it is absolutely naive, arrogant, and stupid to believe that you're not going to get adversity. And I would be afraid if I didn't get any adversity, because I would be doing a self-examination and a self-check, wondering if I'm even a threat to the kingdom of hell at this point. So again, remember, James understood this. James understood this, that if we as believers are going to be rooted and grounded in him, that we're not blown by every wind of doctrine. It's not going to come through a synthetic controlled environment wherein which we are able to bypass, deter, and avoid all affliction, all infirmities, all adversity, and all opposition against us. When in reality, James is saying here that as believers, we are not exempt from trouble. We are not exempt from trials, but we are to seize that opportunity and use it to our advantage to develop endurance and perseverance so that we can grow and our roots can be established. And that, oh, come on, that things that would have attempted to take us out in times past will, come on, we will shrug these things off in the present, because we know that the same God got us through then, he'll get us through it now. And I love what he says in verse 3 of James 1. He says, for you know that when your faith is tested, it produces endurance and perseverance for you to grow. And when it's fully developed, you will need nothing. And this is so true, guys. Think about your life right now. Just do a quick self-examination and think about it. We would have never known that he is Jehovah Jireh unless we be tested in our finances. We would never know that he is truly Jehovah Rapha lest we be tested in our health. We would never know that he is the Prince of Peace unless we are tested in our minds and our emotions, and we go through worrisome events wherein which the enemy would try to get us to worry and have anxiety and fret over these things, when in reality he says in Philippians chapter 4, if there be anything of a good report, if there be anything noble, if there be anything trustworthy, think and meditate upon these things. So I'm telling you, friends, we truly don't know, listen to me, how mature we are in the walk, in our walk with God, until the winds of adversity show up in our life. Let me say that again. We will truly not know how mature we are in our walk with God until the winds of adversity show up at our front door and show up in our life. Listen, you could tell everybody that you believe, I believe my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I believe that God is meeting all my needs. He's blessing me in the city, blessing me in the field. He's more than enough. He's meeting all my needs according. He's doing all these things. He's blessing me above and beyond all I could even think or ask according to the power that works within me. You're going around telling everybody that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He's El Shaddai. You can say all these things and you know all the words and you can quote the scriptures, but listen to me, what happens? What is the reality of it? What is the real reality of this? When something happens that impacts your finances, come on, somebody in your family gets the pink slip, you lose your job, you get laid off, you get injured, can't go to work, you get an unexpected bill, something breaks down, your house has something happen, a disaster takes place, an unforeseen medical event takes place, all these things happen and it impacts your finances. Then, come on, then how do you react? Are you still saying he's Jehovah Jireh? Are you still saying he's El Shaddai? Are you still saying he's more than enough? Are you still believing that he is going to meet and supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? Come on. Listen, I've been doing this thing for 23 years, and I'm telling you, I don't even know my own weaknesses until the winds of adversity come. And I realize that who am I preaching to today? Everybody out there can look and they see you as a tall, flourishing, fruitful tree. But what they don't see is the shallow root system underneath the ground, and nobody sees it. Nobody notices it. But once the winds of adversity come, they're going to see how you react to the wind. Are you flowing with the wind? Are you bending with the wind and able to withstand the wind? Or because you have a weak root system, are you going to snap with any trial, any affliction, and any adversity that comes your way in a certain area that you thought you were able to sustain from? Come on, I'm not going to preach very long today, but I'm going to try to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to preach long, but I'm going to try to preach real good today. I'm going to try to hit you right where you need to stimulate growth today. We want you to get a deep root system today. We want you to be able to withstand winds today, winds of adversity, winds of opposition, winds of persecution, whatever those winds look like in your life. Listen, when I was putting this message together, I remember Joseph. See, when we talk about Joseph, we think about this guy who was raised up by God in Egypt to be able to be. He was a governor over all of Egypt. God used him to save Egypt from a massive famine that swept through the land, and he promoted him. But what a lot of people they fail to remember is what Joseph went through to get to that place. Listen, right in the very beginning of Joseph's life, he had a call on his life. He had a prophetic destiny on his life. Joseph was excited about, just like any young man. Think about it. If you're 13-year-old, your 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old son or daughter had got a prophetic word spoken over them in front of the elders, in front of the church, that they were going to have a worldwide international ministry. They were going to touch the lives of millions of people, impact them for generations. You don't think they'd be excited? You don't think they'd be going around super excited about this and talking about, look at the destiny God's got on my life. So this is what Joseph did. Joseph had a destiny, had a purpose on his life. He was marked by God. He began to share this with even the most intimate of his family. Now, look, I've always said this, if you can't share your destiny with your own family, who can you share it with? But Joseph found out that even among your own blood, there's things that you have to keep to yourself and God. But Joseph made the mistake about this. He shared the word of the Lord that he had over his life and his destiny and over and the purpose that God had for him. And he shared this with his mother and his father. He shared this with his brothers, and they didn't receive it. They became angry. They became jealous. They became envious of him. And we know the story, guys, that he was lied on. He was cast. He was thrown into slavery, left for dead. But watch this. Joseph had to make a choice. So here's the destiny. Here's the purpose. Here's the prophetic destiny over his life. But here comes the winds of adversity. Who would have ever believed the winds of adversity would come from those of your own household? Well, if we remember the words of Christ, come on, I'm making this applicable to you and I today. If we remember the words of Christ, did Jesus not say, he said the time would come when your enemies would be those of your own household? So some of y'all, you shouldn't be shocked or surprised or bewildered that adversity is coming from your own household. Some of you ladies, your husband is the winds of adversity coming against you. He doesn't like that Bible study you go to. He doesn't like that you're always in church. He doesn't like that you're a prophetic intercessor. He doesn't like that you get a word from the Lord. He doesn't like that you're involved in church all the time. So because he's not serving God, he's not equally yoked with you, he's not sold out to God, he is being used as an instrument of the enemy. Now listen, he could be a good person, he could be a good husband, he could be a good father, he could be doing everything right, but even Peter, who was called by God, who was going to be a pillar of the New Testament church, even Peter was rebuked by Jesus himself and said, "Get behind me, Satan, because Peter was even used by Satan to try to come against the will and the plan of Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. I want to talk to some husband today. Listen, your wife can even be used by Satan to discourage you, to get you stirred up, to get you out of the church, to get you unemployed, to get you out of leadership, to deter you from what God's called you to do. Some of you, it's your family members. It's your aunt, your uncles, your parents, your grandparents, your brothers, your sisters. Who am I talking to today? They have become the enemies of your own household. Why? Because they don't fully understand the will and the purpose of God. And because of this, there's an unequal yokeness here. Some of you, because you go to work and you work in an environment where you are the only Christian there, you somehow think, well, this is not the will of God. I'm praying that God deliver me from this, because after all, I'm the only person here that believes in God and believes in Jesus, and everybody else hates God. They hate Jesus. They don't want to talk about that. They're full of new age. They're full of demons. Well, have you stopped to think about that may be the very reason why God has raised you up to be the light and be the salt in the midst of darkness? Friends, I have been in your shoes. Listen, I worked in a construction supply company for 5 years. It wasn't my favorite job. I didn't really like the job, but I did it for a season to put food on the table for my family, to provide for my family. But it was not my calling, but I used it as an opportunity. So everyone around me who wasn't serving God, wasn't believers in Christ, I used my job opportunity as a pulpit. I preached to them. I witnessed to them. I would share testimonies to them. I would share stories to them. I would share healing stories, miracle stories. I would pray with people. I would lead people to Christ. Where? Not in church, not in a Bible study, at my job. Well, brother, I can't do that at my job. Well, listen, do what you can do. But God will always make a way. God is not going to open a door for you to work in a job or in a position if it wasn't His will for you to get there in the first place. So instead of complaining every day, come on, we all are guilty of that, about where we're working and we can't stand the environment. We don't like the people we work with. Come on, do as James said. Use this as an opportunity to persevere and grow. Stop looking for the controlled environment with a dome over the top of it, where there's not going to be any wind of adversity, any winds of change, any winds of persecution or opposition. Because my friend, you will never grow in that environment. And there is people around you that need your full development so that you can reach them for the Lord. So here's Joseph. Joseph is no longer under his household. He's no longer in his controlled environment. So now he is facing major winds of adversity. It's coming from his family. He's been sold into slavery. Now he's in the house of Potiphar. And here everything is going good, but then Potiphar's wife is lusting after him, tries to have an affair with him, and Joseph has a choice. Joseph could say, you know what? Nobody's going to know. It's just me and Potiphar's wife. No one's going to find out. After all, I'm a man. I have needs. I have desires. Or he said, no, God has a destiny and a plan for my life. And even though it's dark, even though it looks hopeless and it looks like there's no way that this is going to come to pass, he still chose to believe that the work that God began in him, he was faithful to finish it and see that Joseph come out on the other end and fulfill that destiny and that purpose. So what did Joseph do? He resisted temptation. He fled from sexual immorality. And because he did the, watch this. Now, you would think, now I know, listen, I know how our minds are. Well, praise God, I did the right thing. I resisted temptation, and God is going to reward me. But instead, Potiphar's wife lied on him, made up a lie that Joseph made in advance at her. And because of this, it angered Potiphar, and Joseph went even deeper into persecution, was thrown into a prison cell. But even in the prison cell, your Bible says that God continued promoted him. Now look, you'd say, well, that doesn't sound like a promotion, Brother Ricky. I did the right thing. I said no. I resisted temptation, and I'm thrown into jail. But listen, Joseph understood that a setback was a prelude to a setup. So even in the pit, even in the prison, Joseph remained faithful, and he maintained his standard. He maintained his moral standard and his walk with God. He feared God, and as time passed, years went by. Some of us think that God is going to deliver us yesterday. God's going to deliver us instantaneously. God's going to deliver us right now. Listen, I wish that was the case for every trial and every wind of adversity that we face. But guys, it's just not the case every time. Come on, it reminds me of an old song written by Scott Crepane. I'm going to show my age here. This is an old Christian song written by Scott Crepane. And it was called Sometimes He Calms the Storm. I want to read the lyrics to this. In fact, I'll pull them right up here on the screen so you can look at this. Listen, I'm not going to sing this. Thank God I'm not going to sing this. Trust me, you will be thankful I'm not going to sing this song. But let me read the lyrics to you. All who sail the sea of faith find out before too long how quickly blue skies can grow dark and gentle winds grow strong. Suddenly, fear is like white water pounding on the soul. Still, we sail on knowing that our Lord is in control. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered peace, be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the winds and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. He has a reason for each trial. Man, this is good. That we pass through in life. And though we're shaken, we cannot be pulled apart from Christ. No matter how the driving rain beats down on those who hold the faith, a heart of trust will always be a quiet, peaceful place. Come on, isn't that good? And listen, this is what Joseph did. God could have stopped the winds of adversity. God could have showed up and broke him out of prison, because after all, the same God broke Paul and Silas out of prison. He broke Peter out of prison when he was on death row. You know, he went into a lion's den and set Daniel free. You know, he couldn't go in and break Joseph out of prison. But there was a reason. Instead of stopping the winds, he calmed the child. And Joseph, come on, I believe it's not recorded in your Bible, but I believe that Joseph had dreams of where in which God spoke to him and said, Joseph, I'm still with you. I've not left you. I've not abandoned you. And all those years that he could have given up, he could have got bitter and not better, but he held on to the promises of God that are yes and they're amen. He held on to the word of God that said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it is the Lord who delivers us out of them all. I believe he held on to the word that says that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and delivers us out of all of our troubles. So not 1 year goes by, not two, not three, not four, not five, but years went by. And he remained faithful even in the prison, and God promoted him. And then one day God sent a baker and a butler to show up in the jail, show up in the prison. And Joseph is still operating in the gifts. God had not abandoned him. God didn't leave him. God was still using him all the way in the darkest hour, in the darkest place. And Joseph began to give interpretation to the dreams of the baker and the butler. And he says, whatever you do, don't forget me. So one man, come on, met his fate, but the other one was promoted and he still forgot Joseph. But then when in the darkest hour of Egypt, they didn't know how they were going to survive. They didn't know how they were going to make it through the famine. And Pharaoh was freaking out. And Pharaoh had a series of dreams, but it was then that the butler remembered Joseph. And he goes to Pharaoh and he says, there is a man in your prison that operates in the gift of interpretation of dreams. He operates through the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Pharaoh pulls him up out of the prison. And Joseph interprets, not only does he interpret the dream for Pharaoh that of 7 years of plenty had been there, but there was coming 7 years of famine. Not only did he interpret the dream, but he gave specific, precise instructions that what Pharaoh was to do if he was going to survive the famine that was coming. And Pharaoh heeded the man of God's word. And because he did, all of Egypt was spared from the famine. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the book of Psalms, chapter 105, verses 17 and 19. It says this about Joseph. The writer said he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Look, I don't know who this word's for today. Listen, this word might be for me. I received this word for myself today. But listen, it is inevitable. If you're born again, you're saved, you're serving God, and you're doing anything remotely as a threat to the kingdom of hell for the kingdom of God, you're going to face adversity. Not only are you going to face demonic adversity, but you're going to deal with what's called life. And life has a way of throwing all kinds of wind at us. He said, remember Paul told Timothy, with the prophecies that's already been spoken over you, you got to wage warfare with them. So I knew at that point, God, even though God could, he could give somebody a dream. He could give me a word of knowledge. He could give me a vision. He didn't need it. God was saying, listen, I need you to mature in your faith. Oh, who am I talking to today? I need your root system to get deeper. Yes, there's winds here. Yes, there's adversity here. Yes, you're going through affliction here. But speak the almighty word of God over the situation. Speak life and not death. Come into agreement with the word. Come into agreement with the spoken word. Listen, I don't need a new word today when God has already given me a word in times past. Not once, not twice, but multiple times. Now listen to me. Who am I talking to today? Who is it that's listening to this podcast today? And you have tried to avoid adversity. You have run from persecution. You don't want any trials. You've even prayed, oh God, let it be easy. Don't give me trials. Don't give me afflictions. Don't give me persecutions. But friend, listen, I need you to understand something. And James is trying to get you to understand something if we would look at trials of any kind that come our way as an opportunity for great joy, because it is going to build our faith and our endurance to help us be established and grow our root system, that we can become more mature, we can develop more fuller fruit to our account, and that we can, come on, be a great testimony to our brothers and sisters around us, in our family, in our workplace, in our proximity, that are going through a similar trial that we're going through, in their finances, in their health, in their family, in their marriage. And they can look at you, they can look at me, they can look at our life and say, my goodness, if God brought them out of it, if God brought them through it, how much more can he not bring me through it? Because the same word that I got, the same word that you got, is the same word that God can use for them to get them through it as well, in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. So listen, let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are all of us are facing winds of adversity, winds of persecution, winds of opposition, winds of setback. But God, I thank you, Lord, that all through your word, when men and women of God experience these setbacks, they experience these adversities. Lord, I remember even the Apostle Paul, he said that his life was filled with adversity. He was led down a basket out of a window because they were threatening to kill him. He was left for dead in Lystra as they stoned him to death. He was whipped with cords. He was beaten with rods. He was in perils of fasting, perils of nakedness. They lied on him. They hated on him. They ridiculed him, persecuted him. They did all these things, but he said he counted it all joy. He said that he could, the fact that he was suffering the same afflictions as his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he considered a great joy. He considered a great blessing. He said, but to know him, he said, all the education I got, all of the theology I got, all the experience I got, he said, I counted all as a big pile of dung. He said, but the only thing that matters is to know him and the fellowship of his suffering. And he said, the only thing that mattered was to be found in him and to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that even though, Lord, that the trials are here, the winds of adversity are here, God, I thank you that you're well able to speak calm, be still to the storm, or you're well able to allow us to go through the storm to mature us and to develop our character, and so that we can be steadfast, immovable, and that we can endure to the end. Nevertheless, whatever you're doing in our life, Lord, we receive it today, so that not only can we be blessed coming out through this, but others can hear our testimony, and that we can be a great blessing to them as they come out on the other side. Father, so I thank you today for victory. I thank you today for deliverance. I thank you today for healing. I thank you today for breakthrough. I thank you today for salvation in Jesus' name. I thank you today for, Lord God, for promotion and for increase and for all these things in Jesus' mighty name. I declare that the trial is over in Jesus' name to get the great reward. Come on, do you receive this word today? If you believe this today, I want you to give the Lord a big amen. Receive this. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mighty word. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, right above me on your screen, you can see that's our main website. Please don't forget to bookmark that site. Again, we have a free app downloaded today, available on Apple and Android. And as always, we want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of information and blessing to you, listen, you can give several different ways. By the way, if you want to give electronically, I want to show you this, guys. If you want to give electronically, you can do this. It's the easiest way. You go down all the way to the bottom of the app and you click on the donate button, or you can go to our main website and click on where it says donate. When you click on that, it's going to bring you to a page that looks like this. Again, on the mobile version of this, it's going to look a little different, but here you can see where you can give electronically. Right over here, you can give by credit card. You can click here to make this a monthly partnership, or you can do a one-time give. You can give by PayPal, Google Pay. We have Apple Pay. We have Cash App, and we have Venmo. So there's all different ways to give. And of course, you can also give by check or money order, and you can make that right here on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. And guys, I just want to say thank you so much for your generous giving, your support for our ministry. It's through partnerships like yours that help us continue to do what we do on a week-to-week-to-week basis. So we love you guys. We appreciate you. The cards that you guys are sending, the Get Well cards, the offerings through the mail, the partnerships. Again, we read all these cards and all your letters, your emails, your messages. And again, from the bottom of my heart, all of us here at End Time Headlines, our whole team, we love you guys. We appreciate you. And again, thank you for your generous support. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great broadcast. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, may his countenance shine upon you. And again, don't forget to hit that like button, that share button, that subscribe button, that notification button, so you can push this out to the algorithm. So we'll see you tomorrow night. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.